This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 112. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I am Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonmoney.com. So, Amanda.
Yes, Craig.
You did a whole thing about clutter.
Yes, I did.
And you said you had a lot of blankets.
I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, I have an adequate amount of fuzzy blankets.
Well, we're having an abnormal winter up here. We normally don't get any snow, and it's nothing but every couple of days. So I'm about tired of this, and you're down there in Tampa, so I could use some of those blankets.
Well, it's funny because I have family coming into town next month for just like a couple nights, and I don't have a very large house, so I am actually in the market for more blankets right now.
Oh, right.
I'm like picking up sleeping bags off of Facebook Marketplace right now.
Hey, what do we got in this episode?
Well, we have a nice broad range of topics that will be covered through social media questions.
Yeah, and I think this very first one, you saw this question pop up. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is this question also came to me by two instant messages by different people. So it's like all at the same time, there must have been talk somewhere else and they all just came in. So let's jump right in. I heard about penny stocks. Okay. Can you tell us more about these and what are your thoughts?
So penny stocks, people like are attracted to penny stocks because they're so inexpensive and people be like, oh, I can pick up a huge volume, right, of stocks. And I can say I have, you know, 100,000 shares of a stock. But there's a reason they're priced. And when we say penny stocks, these are stocks that are worth less than a penny, so a fraction of a cent. It might even be like a hundredth of a cent. Right. So there's a reason why the value of these is so low. It's because they're basically worthless. So if you want to stick a bunch of money, and I've actually had someone text me in the last month too, saying, hey, I have a hot tip for you. You should invest in this. And it was like worth 0.012 cents. It's going to double. I'm like, really? Because I don't have a crystal ball. Who does, you know?
Yeah.
So they can be volatile. It's more another one of those categories of things of, sure, if you want to just have money that you're spending and not investing, then that's a good place to spend. And maybe it'll make money, but most likely it won't.
These are manipulated by the day traders, by the way, because I used to be in a day trading Discord group. It's an online chat thing. So there'd be like one guy coordinating and they'd find one of these things and pump it up to like 2 or 3 cents.
And then dump it.
Yeah. So the guy that actually wins is the guy that's pumping it. And by the time you get your order and he's already selling. Yeah. It's a coordinated thing. And you guys don't understand algorithms and people that are manipulating all this crazy stuff. And then you guys are the ones losing. Yeah. Just it's like you said, you know what? The funny thing is the way you answered it on our Facebook group, the same way I told these people, there's a reason why it's a penny.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So I'm against them. I don't think it's worth your time or energy. But again, it's one of those situations of this is not an investment. This is play money. So if you're just playing around and it like you would at a blackjack table, then fine. But this is not an investment.
And Amanda, I want to give you credit for not picking on me for putting this question in here. Because her rule is no stock questions. So one additional thing that I've said on a previous episode is I have a rule about buying stocks at all. I really don't like them under $10. Right. And that's a very common thing among long-term investors. There's a reason why it's below 10. I did break that rule recently and I told you I was open. I bought General Electric.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is now above 10. It was like one of those special circumstances that they brought in someone that I felt comfortable that was going to turn the company around. He's done a great job. So yeah. I knew I had a lot of research in on that, but typically nothing under $10 is my standard rule that I do. So
I don't even have anything worth less than $100 a share in my portfolio. Apple is my cheapest stock.
Yeah, I really don't like. I'm more of a technology guy, but GE was one of those things and I did double my money on that. So
yeah.
That was a different situation. No. So anyway.
And you wouldn't invest in GE today.
No. I already got my money out.
I just want to be clear. Like, just because Craig invested in it at some point in the past doesn't mean that it's a good idea for you listening today to jump in.
Yeah. It's probably in your mutual funds. Leave it alone. But it went from 5 to 11. I'm out. So I was happy.
Right.
Number two, my husband's company was just sold, and he was told he can either cash out his 401k or he needs to transfer to another program. It's a 401k.
It's about $40,000.
It's $40,000. What would you do? A Roth IRA, traditional IRA?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what they're saying is that the company program is no longer going to exist. Mm-hmm. So he has to do something with the money that has been in this company sponsored program up until this point. So cashing out is a terrible idea. You'll be paying taxes and penalties on that for making an early withdrawal on your retirement account. Mm-hmm. Instead of transferring, it's called a rollover. You'll want to roll over into another retirement account. More than likely, this is a traditional 401k. So the easiest thing to do is to roll over into a traditional IRA. So you want to roll over like to like. If you were to roll it over into a Roth IRA, then you're going to pay income tax on the amount of the gains that are rolled over. And that will be added to your ordinary income for 2021's taxes.
Yeah. And there's several ways this occurs. You can do it electronically. Like if you call Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, which are our favorite low cost ones, we have no relationship with them. They're just very low cost, and work it out so it's done electronically. The other method, which has come, is the company is going to send you a check and you have 90 days to put it somewhere else before they tax you on it. I don't like the idea you're holding a check of $40,000.
Right.
I don't like it because then your brain is in there and you see the car ad. There's a TV on sale. I don't like that you have it in your hand. If you don't see it, in my mind, it's easier. But once you look at that check, well, if I just take a little bit out, I just like it. I like it clean. So usually you can work with Fidelity, Schwab or something like that, and they can do all that for you, and they'll be glad to help you. It's business for them. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very easy. You just call them up and they will walk you through. Well, if you don't have an IRA account already open, they'll help you to open one. And one of the steps is how you're going to fund it. And you can indicate that you will fund it through a rollover. And then the account where you have the account, like where the money is going, that's where you will initiate the rollover.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like changing cell phone providers. You tell the cell phone company who you want to, you want to come to them. They will take care of it. Trust me.
That's right. They'll figure it out.
They will get you. They want you in there. It's actually much easier than it used to be. One more question.
Yeah, I was surprised how easy it was because I'd been putting it off for years.
Yeah, I've never done it. You said it was amazing.
I did it twice last year because I had two different accounts I had to take care of.
Well, money bags. I understand. Question number three. I love how this starts. I think we are on baby step five. Okay. I think. So baby, we'll get to that later. Only debt left is the primary home of $283,000 and $205,000 on a lake place.
Mm-hmm. I understand the confusion.
Yeah, they got all kinds of properties. Should we, in these crazy times, be paying down our mortgage or stockpiling cash? Husband is still doing 15% in a 401k, and I just lost my job due to COVID and haven't found anything yet. And
okay,
this is a recent question, by the way. So people are still losing jobs.
Yes. Well, I think in any. Mm-hmm. people lose jobs, whether there's COVID or not,
yeah, that's
especially
true.
Right now. Yeah. So, Craig, I think this is a great opportunity. I saw you had posted in the group just this week, again, the reminder about the baby steps. But I think this is also a good time to do a summary of what we mean when we say the baby steps and help clarify what the numbers mean.
Yeah, I'm going to briefly go through them, just the bullet points. So the baby steps are, number one is starting out with a $1,000 starter emergency fund. That will help you get through many emergencies, just that $1,000. What do they say, 7 in 10? Can't even cover a $500 emergency?
Yes.
Something like that.
I don't
in America.
Know if it's 7 in 10, but it's the majority of Americans.
It's a large America. Number two is paying off all your debt except for your mortgage.
Right.
You leave
so
the mortgage
that would
out
include
there.
Your lake house for the mortgage. The mortgage is only mortgage. On your primary home. You don't get there to say, well, I have, you know, a home and 5 vacation properties, so I'm going to pay off everything except for those, and then I'm past baby step two. No,
yeah,
the secondary mortgages are included in baby step two.
There you go. And this includes your student loans, car loans, credit cards, anything that is not your primary house. You need
car
to pay it
payments.
Off. Yep, everything.
Yeah, a lot of times people exclude their auto loans from this yeah. step, and that's not right.
I love that people say, "Well, I'm debt free except I have a car payment." No, you're not debt free. Number three, baby step three is save 3 to 6 months of your expenses in a fully funded emergency fund, which is in savings, not
correct.
Invested.
Correct.
It
you're
has
not
to be
planning
accessible.
To make money on your emergency fund. You just the goal is not to lose the money. So it just goes into a simple savings account, hopefully a high yield interest savings account like Ally or Marcus by Goldman Sachs. We do have a referral link in our group page for Marcus where you can get a bump in your interest rate for the first 3 months.
This is the step that people skip because they find it hard to believe I'm going to put $30,000 away and it's not going to make money. They have a hard time with that mentally. That money will keep you from out of baby step two again and racking up debt because
right. And I just
things will
reiterate.
Happen.
It's yeah. 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, not 3 to 6 months worth of your income. So
yeah.
hopefully your expenses are lower than your monthly income. And that may not actually be as large of an account as, you know, as
right,
you think.
Right.
So again, this is where that B word is really important, right? You need to have your budget sorted out so you know what your monthly expenses are so you can make that calculation of what's 3 to 6 times that monthly expense.
Another boring topic, budget, which people don't normally do. Baby step four is what they are doing. 15% of your household income among everybody into retirement. Baby step five, which is what they think they're on, is save for your child's college fund. Baby step six is paying off your home early, getting that paid off. And number seven is build wealth and give back generously and live like no one else.
Yeah, so we do steps 4, 5, and 6 in parallel.
In parallel,
which is fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you can
some
do 15% in your 401k at the same time you're paying off your mortgage very quickly.
Yeah, I think you and I both agree that baby step 5, which is saving for a college, for your children's college, is an optional. It's whatever you want to do with that.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have it down as a must. So your kids can figure it out on your own. Do not do college fund over saving for your retirement is the point.
Right. And that's because as much as it pains me to say, and it's not great, but you can take out a loan to finance college. You cannot take out a loan to finance your retirement.
And I love that quote. We say that all the time. There are no such thing as retirement loans.
Right.
But there are college loans. So I think that's the point. Anyway, so that's the baby steps.
Right. So now back to our question here. Yep. They think they're on baby step 5, which would be saving money for their son or daughter's or child's education, which I don't really see any other indication in the fact they presented that that's what they're doing. So I think they mean they're in 4, 5, and 6 probably.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they have paid off all the rest of their debt except for their primary home and another home that's on the lake as a secondary home.
Yeah.
So that's where I would be throwing a bunch of money at, is that secondary home first. Mm-hmm. And then worrying about retirement funds.
Yeah. I wonder if that lake house is on Airbnb or something like that while they're not using it, or, you know, yeah, there's a lot of missing information.
Hard. Yeah. I mean, look what happened this last year to Airbnb. Ooh. That income that people were expecting to have, it disappeared. So, sure, it's nice to supplement your mortgage payments with Airbnb, but you can't count on that, right?
No.
So this particular circumstance, this individual has lost their job. So I would go back and make sure you have on the higher end in your emergency fund. So not 3 months, but at least 6 months, because now you're down to just one person's income. And mm-hmm. If that person also loses their job, then you'll have zero income and you still have your monthly expenses, which now includes two mortgages.
Ooh, ouch.
Right. So that's the only change I would make. I don't know that I would stockpile cash. I would just make sure that when I say fully funded emergency fund, it's not on the low end. It's on the high end of six months. I'm very hopeful, and I hope it pans out that you'll find a replacement job quickly. I mean, if you just lost your job, it's probably a very fresh wound and you're probably processing things. And there's that automatic panic, which you're totally entitled to feel. it's an awful feeling, right, when you lose a job, but just kind of take a breath, let things process, and don't do anything rash right now. Give yourself, you know, a good week to process it, and then you know I think you'll find a replacement job. There are plenty of jobs out there. They may not be your dream job, but there's at least something that'll get you through until the next good job comes along.
There you go. Good luck with that. All right. So let's take a quick break. And we got three great questions coming up. I say that every time. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and her little sidekick, Craig. And check us out on Facebook.com/Rock on the Money or the website rockonthemoney.com. I can tell the world is opening up more and more listens suddenly. I think people are commuting again. I know they are around here. Traffic is really building up in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, and schools across the country are reopening, whether it's a good idea or not.
Oh, they're in about 3 weeks here in the Washington, D.C. area. I think pretty much all of them are going to be open. But
yeah,
all the teachers
have gotten. A lot of them have been partially open, like 2 or 3 days a week, kind of alternating days. But now things are going back 100%.
Yeah. Where my daughter teaches, Northern Virginia, they're doing alternating days. So half of them are doing virtual. And they have to do a mandatory, even second graders have to do a mandatory training on how to clean. Apparently, they got signs everywhere. They're really working hard at this. I don't know. You know, that's a whole debate, but they're going to do it. And all the teachers have gotten their shots. So they made sure that was a priority. What's that?
All the teachers have there?
Yep. They all got their shots. Yep.
That's great.
And it was made a priority. So
that's not the same in every state. So that's
no great. Matter of fact, the hospital system in Northern Virginia apparently has the highest rate. They're the most efficient in the United States. And so a lot of hospitals are coming in to see how they're doing it. It's called Inova. So that was in the news. So they're all coming here to find, how are you guys doing this so well? So, and that happens to be the school district for where my daughter's at. So hopefully we'll see what happens. We'll see. All right. So
I will eventually, in the next decade, hopefully make it to Ireland.
Oh my God! You can go. Well, no, we can't do anything, can we?
No, we still have it scheduled for April, but we've already decided that we are going to cancel if they don't cancel it for us. I just don't want to have to cancel it and pay my own
travel
insurance fee.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Yeah, how you cancel stuff. Yeah.
So I'm waiting. They'll cancel it. If not, I have the travel insurance because I knew this was risky. So
that's it. That's an interesting topic right there.
Travel insurance. Yeah, I don't normally buy it, but
yeah. But in these times, you have to do that. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got three more questions. You ready for this?
Actually, I also added a bonus question.
I saw that. So we use behind the scenes. We use Google Docs, and we're both looking at. I see you're typing there, so I can't wait to see that.
Okay.
Question number four: is it recommended to dollar cost average into mutual funds? Mutual funds, like individual stocks, are mostly at all-time highs. I'm looking to put in $400,000 and just feel like the 15% correction in the short term is imminent.
Okay, I can understand why you're nervous.
Yeah.
Because that definitely is a large chunk of money to invest all on the same day.
Yes.
So let's take a step back. So normally, people are not contributing $400,000 all at once.
No. That's, no.
In fact, it's very difficult to contribute $400,000 to a retirement fund all at once. So this is either a rollover into a retirement account, which is the only way you can get that amount of money in it all at once, or it's a regular brokerage account that has no retirement tax protections, right?
Right.
So normally we would say, don't try and time the market, you know, make your pick. Because honestly, we've been saying for the past year, well, take last March away, but
right.
since March, after things recovered very quickly, but from every day since then, we've said everything's at all-time highs.
Right.
So I'm nervous it's going to drop, right?
Right.
And it just hasn't. So I feel the same way too. Like, it seems like a correction should come, but it seemed that way for the last year. And my goodness, I would have been kicking myself if I missed out on all the gains on $400,000 between last year and now.
Right.
Painful.
Right.
So normally we'd say, don't try and time the market, just get your money in, and long-term investing is going to correct itself over the next 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, a blip down 15%, even in the next year, is not going to make a difference long-term.
Right.
$400,000, I might feel a little bit differently about. I would probably split it up over the next couple of months, just again, because of what this individual indicated or is asking about. The dollar cost averaging means that you're going to get buy some of it today at one price, next month you'll buy some more. And if the price goes up, that's okay, because you bought some at a cheaper price today than you did then.
Yep.
If the price goes down, then you're getting it on sale next month, and you know, it'll average out over time. So that's what the dollar cost averaging is about. What do you think on this one?
Nah, I mean, no matter what CNBC says, Jim Cramer, all these guys, nobody knows. So
I've been hearing Chicken Little for like the last nine months, like the sky's about to fall. And, you know, eventually these guys are going to be right, because eventually, it can't always go up, right? Over time it will, yes, but there's going to be a drop at some point, and then they're all going to say, I told you so, right?
Yes. And that's what CNBC does. They find the one guy that said, you called it. Well, of course. Yeah. 100 million people predict something. Somebody's going to be right.
That'd be like me here in Florida saying, you know, it's going to drop. The temperature's going to drop to 40. It's going to drop to 40. And then, of course, there's like one day a year where it drops to 40. And
I told you so. I told you. Don't be that one guy that'll brag like, yeah, but what about all the money? Anyway.
Yeah. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So
long-term mindset is what wins, and you're worried about a short-term. Over the long-term, it up to 10 years. That's why when you're less than 10 years, we say you need to start protecting your money a little bit more. 10 years, it will self-correct itself. And always, over time, the markets go up. Mm-hmm. You can't show me anywhere in the history of America where it did not do that over time. That's a fact. So we always stick with long-term mindset and patience. Be patient.
And where you're putting that money is going to make a difference. Well,
that's true.
So
that's
when you say mutual funds, we're assuming that you are talking about what we always coach is the S&P 500 index fund, which is an index, like it sounds like, of the top 500 companies in the United States. So over time, it's safe to bet on the best companies in America that are going to continue to do well. And the index, it self-corrects. So if a company isn't doing well, it gets bumped out by other companies that suddenly are doing well.
Yeah.
You know, like recently, Tesla was added to the S&P 500. I don't know who got kicked out.
I was going to say, I don't know who got kicked out.
I don't know. But somebody did, because it's 500. So it's a finite amount of companies. So if somebody gets invited in, that means someone else had to get bumped out.
And the fact is, it gives you a 70% shot at winning. Because only 30% of the funds out there, actively managed funds, can beat the index. The best way to do it is just do the index. You have a 70% shot.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not go against those odds? I mean, that's just amazing.
Pretty good odds.
Anyway, question number five. Mm-hmm. What site can I go to figure out what I need to do in order to break even on my tax season? I think they're talking about getting or not getting a refund.
Oh, sure. Okay. So there are some good tax calculators out there. Let's see. I think NerdWallet has one.
Yeah, I believe they do. You're right.
They have a free income tax calculator, which I've used because I'm just curious before my return gets calculated whether I'm going to have a problem or not. But you can use that not just to calculate this year's tax return, but also to do a little bit of forecasting and planning. You would have to guesstimate what your income would be for this year. And again, things can change for the next year. So, you know, depending on what laws that they pass or tax credits and all that. So it's always a guessing game, unfortunately.
Right.
But that's what I would do is go nerdwallet.com/taxes/tax-calculator. And I'll put a link in the show notes as well.
Perfect.
But that's where I would go. You can check there. It'll calculate, you know, based off of your filing status, what your income is, your age, how many dependents you have, whether you're doing some retirement fund contributions or not. And it'll calculate based off. If I would just use the standard deductions. Don't worry about figuring out any type of itemized because, again, most people don't benefit from that anyway. And that'll help you calculate your taxes.
One little thing that I do in addition to that, I bump it up just a tad because hopefully your income always increases. Mm-hmm. And that way, if you're really worried about it, you just have a little bit in there, but you don't want to overpay, honestly. Yeah. You don't want to get a refund. That's
when
not
you
the benefit,
estimate your income for the year, I would tack on a little extra just in hopes that you figure out another way to add a little income to your,
because cost of living could be 1-2% around July, or you may get a 5% raise. And so I just kind of bump it just a tad. Just a little bit. So, last question before the bonus round.
Oh, more tax questions.
Another one. For the first time ever in forever, we owe on our taxes. Mm-hmm. Same salaries. It must be a couple. Same everything. What did we do wrong? Did something change?
Something changed about a year ago, but that wouldn't explain why between that last year and this year, you suddenly have a big change.
Because in the news, even though I don't watch the news much, I haven't heard about any new tax reform or anything in the past year.
It happened more than a year ago. So that's what's surprising me. So a lot of people had very unpleasant surprises last year and the year before because, you know, the so-called tax reform that gave everyone a little extra in their monthly paychecks. When it came around for tax time, everyone was hit with this big tax bill because, lo and behold, the federal government changed withholdings and now you didn't have enough withheld and you had a big tax bill.
Right.
But it was all for political reasons, right? I'm not aware of anything from 2019 to 2020 that would have created the same problem.
I'm puzzled by that one. Hopefully you have a tax professional and you can, you're probably doing like TurboTax or something. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, because if they had a tax professional, they could find that out. But
so there might be a change in tax brackets. Usually they go up, though.
You know, maybe it's not exact. Maybe they were on the fringe of a bracket and they just kind of happened to go over, and that would have changed things. But you only pay difference on that difference. So that would be it. I don't know. How about we give this standard advice? Talk to your tax professional.
Right.
You might be doing something wrong.
There has to be some difference that you're not thinking about that's accounting for that.
Or you're using TurboTax online or something, and you're filling out differently this year, and the way you filled it out kicked in something else. Mm-hmm. So you may want to get a second pair of eyes on that to find out why, unless you want to look at TurboTax or something. I'm just assuming. Compare them line by line. Print them both out. Go line by line and say, what did TurboTax or software, or whatever it is, what did it do to change this? I would venture to say you answered one question in that software that kicked it a different way. That would be a guess, pure guess, having used that stuff before. So, all right, we have a bonus question.
We do. We have a bonus question.
All right, Amanda. This is Amanda. Here we go.
So I haven't typed it all out yet, but I'm going off of memory from a conversation I had with someone recently.
Uh-oh.
So we are back on baby step one. I have a lot of medical conditions and problems, so I contribute $3,500 each year to an FSA account, so a flexible spending account. And each year, every dollar of it gets used. Mm-hmm. My husband doesn't understand why I want him to stop contributing to his 401k while we get through baby steps one, two, and three. What can I do?
Oh, well, that's different.
How do I convince him?
So wait a minute. Which question are we dealing with? Just the baby steps, or are we going to factor in the FSA?
I think just the baby steps. So let's for a moment here. So I think that that's an interesting twist, and that's why I included it in a bonus question, because I don't think we've ever really given a whole lot of thought to that type of a circumstance. So every time we talk about the baby steps, we always say this is guidance, and your individual circumstances change things, right?
Everybody's different.
So this is one of those circumstances that I thought, you know what, this does make me think about things slightly differently. So if you know for certain that every year you have additional medical expenses that are going to really hit your budget hard, then I think it's right to plan for that, right? And to have a plan to pay for those expenses in a way that is tax advantaged. So I think contributing to a flexible spending account pre-tax makes perfect sense to me. Right.
Love it.
Because you're going to have to spend that money. That's part of your budget that you have to do anyway. So that is a budget line item, which is part of every baby step. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're just putting money into a different place for you to spend on that budget in a way that has a tax advantage. So I like that for that reason. I think one, an FSA is different than an HSA.
Right. Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah, so we're not talking about a health, what do they call it? Spending or savings account, right?
Yeah. Savings account. Yep.
Which some people like to use interchangeably as a retirement account. And, you know, or as an additional option to save for retirement. That's not what this is. This is a flexible spending account. So you get like a prepaid debit card to use. And every month, part of your payroll deduction goes towards funding that flexible spending account for the year. So I like that because, you know that expense is going to be there in your budget, and now you have a way to reduce your taxable income and your tax bill at the same time you're paying that budget line item. So I think that's a very different payroll deduction than a 401k payroll deduction. Mm-hmm. So the 401k, the retirement funding, that's something that is baby step three. So you have to get back through one, two, and three. I'm sorry, it's baby step four. So you have to get through one, two, and three before you can get back to 15% contribution to your 401k.
There you go. Love it.
And it doesn't matter in this particular circumstance. These people are you know, in their mid to late 50s. So mm-hmm. starting to feel that panic of retirement. So it doesn't matter if it's close or not, because you can't retire with all this debt anyway.
If you know these people, I'm pretty sure that FSA thing is going to continue. If you have medical problems now at that age, you're probably going to keep going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it becomes chronic. So that was awesome. That was awesome. All right, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.